Good morning, church. Let us stand and begin worship together. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I have proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing blood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. This morning for our sacred kiss, you are going to turn to your neighbor and you're going to do something a little different. You're going to introduce yourself and you're going to say, hello, I am your name. You're going to say, I am Alex the Wise.
Unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you laid down your life, that I would be set free. I sing for all that you've done for me.
Who brings our chaos?
Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nation with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King of of all kings.
Here we go.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, 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 oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. I sing for all that you've done for me.
All that you've done for me.
The splendor of let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And oh, let's see how great is our God? Age to age he stands. Time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead, three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, Lion and the Lamb.
Sing it out, church.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And oh, we'll see how great is our God.
He's a name above all names,
name above all.
And my heart.
our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great, how great is our God.
Sing the name above.
He's the name above all names, and he's worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God.
Just the drums and voices, how great.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
He's so great.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And Joel is our God.
Last time, name above all.
Name above all names, worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. Shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Y'all know the words. We're going to sing this part again. Just the verse.
The Lord bless you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.
Upon you in a thousand generations,
in your family, in your children, in their children, in their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping, rejoicing. He is for you, 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 he is for you. Children, in their children, may his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, he is for you. Children, may his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He's with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping, in rejoicing. He is for you, he is for you. He is for you, 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 he is for you.
Last time, raise up an amen. Thank you, Jesus, that you are here with us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would have your way this morning. And I pray that if there are any hardened hearts or if there are heavy hearts that are carrying burdens, Lord, that we are not supposed to be carrying on our own, that we would lay them at your feet this morning, figuratively, physically, whether it be we come to the altar or we kneel where we are, or God, we simply bow our heads and our hearts, realizing that we have not been as connected to you as we should be. Lord, I pray that we would realize that anything good that we are supposed to be doing, that we can be doing in our lives, is only because you enable us. And I pray, Lord, that we would surrender more fully to you this morning. Jesus, I want to pray a blessing over all the mothers in this place and all the mothers extending beyond through America and through this earth, God. And I pray that people would realize just how important that they are, and they would realize just how beautiful they are. And Lord, I pray that we would not be ignorant to the fact that you are portrayed in this. You are portrayed in how they give birth and how they watch over their children, how they raise up their children, and how that extends through generation and generation and generation. And Lord, I pray that you would lift us up and you would embolden us to be so bold in our lives and with our children, that we would instill the truth and we would raise them in the way that they should go, knowing that they are not going to depart from it, God, because you have them, because we have shown them to you. And Lord, I pray right now for Pastor Forrest as he comes forward, that everybody here would expose themselves, would open up their hearts and receive, Lord, what you are going to be speaking through him, through your word. In your name I pray. Amen.
To take a step in the dark is scary, but we don't walk alone. God goes before us, beside us, and is a light unto our path. God calls us to take that first step, to put one foot in front of the other, to walk with boldness, knowing that he will illuminate every one of our steps, to trust him and walk by faith, not by sight. He promises to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path in whatever season of life, in whatever circumstance of life. So whether it's a new year, a new season, or a new day, we don't go at it alone. God goes before us. He lights each one of our steps. He fuels our faith with the same power that raised Christ from the dead, empowering us to keep putting one foot in front of the other. In the midst of darkness, remember that he knows the way. He has a plan for your today and all of your tomorrow. So today, with every step that you take, remember that he is with you. Remember that he is for you. Remember that he is constant. And remember that he is never changing. He knows exactly where you've been, and he knows exactly where you're going. So may you walk in the light of his truth. And may you always put your trust in the one who will forever be the light into your path.
Well, good morning. It is wonderful to be with you here again today. About 8 months ago, we started a second service. And a lot of people don't know the history behind how that whole thing came about. So I just wanted to share that with you here this morning. And it's going to tie into what we're talking about as well. But about 8 months ago, or several months before that, before we actually made the decision, there were a couple of people who had come to me, and they weren't being critical. They weren't being critical of what we were doing. They said, we love the worship the way that we're doing it, the blended worship service. We love that. They said, but me personally, and they were being honest and genuinely sharing, they said, me personally, I grew up in a more traditional setting. And they said, I enjoy worshiping with the hymns. And so, I heard that from them, and I said, okay, let me see what we can do. And what happened after some of those conversations then, there was a church that was meeting here on Sunday mornings before this service called St. Bart's. And St. Bart's left, and they went to another facility, and all of a sudden now we had another opportunity for another service before this one. And so the opportunity presented itself. And we have a pianist. She is classically trained. Some of you know her. Some of you don't know her. Her name is Eunice. She is awesome. She's very good. And we have her. She's ours. So we're like, hey, we got the pianist. And Alex is probably not, hopefully he isn't going to hear us, but Alex has a wonderful voice. He's got good training, but the Lord has naturally gifted him with a very good voice. And all I have to do is preach the same sermon that I preach in the service. I just have to preach it a second time. And so what we kind of came to the thing was, the Lord has opened the doors for us to put on a second service. And so that's what we kind of walked down that process. But one of the things that guided us was there's a proverb. It's Proverbs chapter 27, verse 3. And I'm not going to quote it for you word from word here. But the idea behind what is the concept in the proverb is this, is that when you have the power to do good and you have the opportunity to do good, do it. Don't withhold it. And in this situation, we had the opportunity, we had the staff, we had the talent, we had everything that was in line to do it, and we said, it's in our power to do good, and we should do it. And so we made that decision, and we went with the two services. Now, many of those people, or of the few people that talked to me, a couple of them have come to me and said, Pastor Forrest, thank you. I appreciate having a worship service that's more in line with the way that I like to worship. And so we've done that. So it's been a great option for us to provide that for people, for some people who really enjoy that kind of worship. And so what we've done, and this is where where we're going today is going to come in. What we've done is we heard wisdom, and then we also heeded wisdom. And this morning, what's going to be very important for me to do with each of you is to convey this idea that you need to hear and you need to understand. Just because you hear wisdom, that doesn't make you wise. Wisdom comes when you hear and do the wisdom. And unfortunately, we live in a culture that with people who are surrounded by wisdom, you can, like you shared this morning, somebody can on their phone can pick up a Bible. They can get a digital copy of the Bible for free, and they can read wisdom anywhere they want. They can go online. You can go online and find Bible passages all over the place. You can find access to the Bible. There are so many avenues that people in this culture have today to access wisdom. And sometimes, even when I talk to people who don't follow God, who don't follow anything that the Lord is saying, they actually know the wisdom. They've heard it spoken before. They know it. They've heard it. But hearing it is a big difference between actually heeding it. And this morning, although we might like to say, hey, I'm not one of those people, the reality is, if you look back at your own life, how many times have you said to yourself, probably not out loud, how many times have you said to yourself, man, I knew that was the wrong thing to do and I did it anyways? How many times have you said to yourself, probably didn't tell people, like, I knew just going into that decision, I knew it was going to be the wrong thing to do, but I did it anyways. We would love to say about ourselves that we're not those people, but the reality is we probably are. Many of us, if I was to ask you, and we kind of did, I wanted you to have you greet other people, and I wanted you to tell them, Forrest the Wise, right? I wanted you to introduce yourself as the Wise. And the reality is most of us think, for the most part, we're fairly wise. But I want you to think this morning, the idea, what I'm trying to do is I want to carry us back and say, okay, but is the wisdom that you think you have, is it connected to what God says? Are you actually heeding the wisdom from the Bible? So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn to the book of Proverbs. And that's where we're going to be this morning, in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is to the middle. If you go in the middle, you'll find Psalm. A little bit to the right is the book of Proverbs. And what we're going through is a section where King Solomon, many believe, and the Bible talks about, he was the wisest man that had lived up to that point. And King Solomon is conveying to his son some truths, and he's letting them know, hey guys, this is what my dad, King David, taught me, and I'm teaching it to you. And this morning, what he's going to talk to his sons about is that the importance of why is it that you not only need to hear wisdom, but then you actually need to do it? What is the benefit of hearing and doing?
There's not really any talk in here about the benefit of hearing, because hearing doesn't really change anything. But he's going to explain to his sons that if you hear and then you do it, there's some advantages for you. And the three advantages is first longevity. It leads to a long life. We're going to clarify that in a little bit with you. What does long life mean? But long life is one of the benefits of hearing wisdom and heeding wisdom. The second benefit of hearing wisdom and heeding wisdom is level paths. You begin to find that the paths that you take as you're following wisdom, the paths that you take are level. And then the last thing you're going to see is that it's a life. And it's a life, not just life as in breathing air into your lungs, but it's a full life. It's a life of an excellent life, a life that is enjoyable and worth living. So these are the things that King Solomon is going to let his sons know. He says, hey guys, this is why you should not only hear wisdom, but heed it. Not only know what the wisdom, wise thing is to do, but actually do it. And the first thing that we see in verse 10 is this, is that he explains to his son that making proverb decisions leads to longevity. And what I'm going to encourage you this morning to do is to proverb your decisions. When you make a decision, attach a proverb to it. And when you do that, what we're going to see is that it leads to longevity. And longevity here refers to long life. Now, this is a good place for me to interject and to let you know. Proverbs are not promises. Proverbs are wisdom sayings that are true to life, that are generally true. And so we'll talk about that a little bit more as we go through. But look with me at verse 10. And it says this, Solomon says this, listen, my son, and accept my saying. First part is listen. It's to hear. It's the first part that we've talked about. You got to hear wisdom. But then the next part he says, my son, and then accept my sayings. The idea is to incorporate that wisdom into your life, to grab hold of it, to bring it in. And what is being made different, the distinction here is being made between hearing and doing. And Solomon says here, guys, sons, hear and do. And if you do both of those, then the bottom of verse 10 says this, and the years of your life will be many. Hear wisdom, do wisdom, and if you do that, the years of your life will be many. Now, this is not a promise. This is a generally true statement. What he's saying is that if you live your life according to the principles of wisdom that I'm giving you in the book of Proverbs, and he says if you live your life that way, generally speaking, what's going to happen is you are going to have a long life. Now, this is a logical thing. Many of us have had an opportunity to know people who have made foolish decisions. And eventually, what often happens to those people is their foolish decisions catch up to them. Whether it results in them having a short life because of health reasons or otherwise. And so the concept makes sense. If you live in a wise way, you can expect that you will live a long life. Now what happens and what trips us up oftentimes is we think that this is a promise. And we can often reflect and say, well, I know a so-and-so person was pretty wise, but they didn't make it out of their 30s. And the thing that you need to see here with this proverb, this is not a promise. This is a generally true statement. For example, if you were to go this week and you were to see your primary care physician, hopefully your experience isn't like mine, but when I usually go, there are conversations like this. You need to stop doing this and stop doing this, and you need to start doing this, and you need to start taking this medicine. Stop eating this. Start doing this more, start exercising more, and you need to start taking these medicines. That's generally what they do. And his thing will be, or the concept that he'll say, if you do this, it will cause you to live longer. That's the understanding. Now, what my doctor is not saying is that I promise you if you do these things, you will live a long life. They're not saying that. there's no way for my doctor to know for sure that I won't get hit by a bus 3 weeks from now. They don't know that. They can't promise that. It's not a promise. But what they're saying is it's a generally true principle of life. If you do these things, and if you stop doing these things, then you will live longer. And that's the same idea of what Solomon is saying here. It's a generally true principle that if you stop doing these things and do these things, if you start living according to wisdom, you will live longer. And unfortunately, what happens is we often say, well, that's usually true, but it's not always true, and so we disregard it. And we disregard the wisdom of what is actually being communicated here. And what is being communicated here is that it is in our best interest to live according to wisdom, because wisdom gives us a long life. Generally speaking, that is true. And one of the things that we all tend to struggle with as humans is we have this supposition about ourselves. We say, I generally consider myself to be wise. And because I think myself to be wise, I also know that because wise people are people that follow the Proverbs. And so then logically what follows is I must be living according to the wisdom in the book of Proverbs. I must be. I'm a wise person, and wise people do what the Proverbs say, so I must be doing life according to the Proverbs. But the reality is oftentimes we don't. We think we're following, we think we're walking according to the truths of the Proverbs, but we're not. Think about it this way. I want you to think past this past week, a significant-ish decision that you had to make. Kind of a big one, not where to have lunch, McDonald's or Burger King, not any of that kind of thing, but like a bigger decision that you had to make this past week. What are the factors that you put into your mind about how that decision was made? Most of us will consider our own life experiences up to this point. Say, hey, I've been into similar situations like this before, and when I was in those similar situations, this is what happened, so I think I should do this. Oftentimes, what we'll do is we'll think of other people that we know who have been in similar situations and say, okay, I saw what happened in that person's situation. I don't want that to happen to me, so I'm going to do this. We consider the lives of other people. Sometimes what we'll do is we will then also kind of anticipate, well, if I do this, and if I make this decision, then this is going to happen. This is the outcome I want, so that's how we have all of these different things that we use to determine how we make a decision. But in your decision this past week, let me ask you, did you, be honest with yourself, nobody else is listening inside your own head, did you make that decision based upon the wisdom of Proverbs? Did you say, the Bible says this, and that's why I'm doing it? If we're honest with ourselves, most of the time we don't. Most of the time we make our decisions based upon what we think is the right thing to do, what we want to do, or whatever. But we all think we're wise. But are we really living according to the principles in the Bible? I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm trying to say, hey, let's be honest with ourselves. Are we really living according to the wisdom in the book of Proverbs? So why should we choose wisely? First of all, because if we proverb our decisions, it leads to longevity, a long life. Second of all, because it leads to a level path. Look with me at 11 and 12. And he said, Solomon is speaking here. He says, I've instructed you in the way of wisdom. He's introducing a metaphor here. Wisdom is now being related to a path, a way. I have instructed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in an upright path. I've led you in upright paths. The wisdom that Solomon has already given and the wisdom that he'll give later in the book, these are being likened to a path. He's telling his sons, hey, the wisdom I'm giving you is like a path. It's like a road. He's encouraging them to walk down this road of wisdom. But now he goes on in verse 12 and he describes what that path is like. It says, when you walk down that path, your steps will not be hampered. They will not be restricted. There will not be obstacles in your way. At the end of verse 12, it says, if you run, you will not stumble. And what he's explaining to his sons is, if you will choose to hear wisdom and act on wisdom, it's like you're choosing a path. It's like you're choosing a road. And I want you to know that this road is a level path. This road is not hindered. There are no obstacles. Many of us need to, when we go to exercise, some of us will choose to exercise on a treadmill. Now, treadmills are a little boring. They're not super fun because they stay in one place. But there are a lot of advantages to a treadmill. A lot of advantages. And some of the advantages of a treadmill is that the path is always level. There's no dogs chasing you on the most of the time there's not. There's no dogs chasing you, neighborhood dogs chasing you on a treadmill. You don't have to worry about cars cutting you off as you're out on the streets. You don't have to worry about curbs. You don't have to worry about roots that are sticking up out of the ground. You don't have to worry about mud puddles. When you're on a treadmill, the path is always flat. And the advantage to that is you can run or walk unhindered. And it's the same thing that Solomon is trying to convey to his sons. If you will take this wise path that I'm telling you about, this path is level. This path doesn't have anything on it to trip you up. It's like running on a treadmill. He didn't have treadmills back then, so he didn't make that illusion. But that's the idea here, is that Solomon is saying, if you run, if you walk on the path of wisdom, it is a level path. It is a path that doesn't have obstacles to do it. And so the challenge that I have for you this morning, the challenge that I want to encourage you about this morning, is to commit to proverb a decision. The reality is we often consider ourselves to be people who make decisions according to the Proverbs, but a lot of times we don't actually do it. And what I'm going to challenge you to do this week is to do it, to make a decision, whatever decision comes across your path. But as you're making that decision, make that decision attached to a proverb. Make it attached to a proverb that you've already memorized. The last couple of weeks, I've been encouraging you to memorize. Or find a proverb in the Bible, find the proverb somewhere in the book of Proverbs that is related to the decision that you're making, and attach those two. And I'm challenging you to start thinking through the decision-making process. And are you making decisions based upon a proverb, or are you making decisions based upon your gut instinct? And regardless of what you've done this week, one decision, make it attached to a proverb. We'll come back to that in a minute. So why should we choose wisely? First of all, proverb decisions, those decisions that are attached to a proverb, they lead to longevity. They lead to a longer life, generally speaking. They also are level paths. They're paths that, for the most part, are easier to walk through. And then the last thing is proverb decisions for life. And life here is not just the life of breath. It is the fulfilled life. It is an exceptional life. Look with me at verse 13. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. It says, "Take hold of instruction. Do not let it go." To take hold of theirs is a command. It's to grab onto it, to grasp it, to hold it. Hold on to wisdom and do not let it go. Whether it's by memorization and you've put those proverbs in your head by memorization, or whether it's just you're familiar with the proverbs as you're reading through these proverbs, whatever it is, take hold of that wisdom and do not let it go. Do not let it escape from your mind. Do not let it escape from your attention. Do not let it escape from your memory or your memory banks. Guard her, which has the idea of keeping it safe, keeping it in. For she is your life. Wisdom is personified here again as a woman. For she, wisdom, is your life. And again, the life being referred to here is not the life of just being able to breathe, but it's the life of a life lived well, where the decisions that you're making because of wisdom are leading you into place and leading into places that are more enjoyable, that are more life-giving and life-fulfilling. And so the idea here that Solomon is communicating to his sons is, guys, walk on this path of wisdom. Hear wisdom and heed wisdom. And if you do that, it will lead you to a full life. These are the three benefits that are available. These are the three benefits that come to people that live according to the wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And it just makes sense that the God who created us and who created the world we live in would love us enough to communicate to us how to live and how not to live. Wouldn't be very loving if he just dropped us in the middle of the ocean and said, hey, figure it out. And that's not what he did. He said, I created you in your mother's womb. You were formed. I formed you. And I know you. And I formed this whole world. And I know how this world works. And I'm going to give you instructions for how to live. I'm going to grant you access to the wisdom. And that just makes perfect sense that he would do that. That's in his nature. And that those, if we live according to the way that the book of Proverbs teaches us to live, it leads to a full life. And that is the thing that is being encouraged in these verses here. So why should we choose wisely? First of all, we should proverb our decisions for longevity, for a long life. Generally, it leads to a long life. Two, for level paths. Our paths will not be filled with obstacles because wisdom is going to be getting us out of making bad decisions that we have to deal with. And last, it leads to a full life. There are I told you originally that when we went to two services, the big advantages was giving an opportunity for these individuals who are so inclined to be able to worship in a style of worship that they enjoy. But there have been several other benefits that have come, several other secondary benefits. One of the things is that it's allowed us to have more people involved in the services because we need more volunteers. So we've been given opportunity. There's a whole different set of people in the sound room and on the computer in the first service that are in the second service. So it gives more people an opportunity to serve. And that's been a wonderful thing. It also helps our children's ministry workers to be able to actually go to a church service, which they wouldn't be able to do otherwise because they're in the nursery. So there have been several other benefits, side benefits. And not necessarily were any of those in mind when we made the decision. We were trying to make the decision what we thought was the right thing to do at that moment. We're making the decision because we thought it was our power to act, and we're acting, and this is the right thing to do. But what we found out later, there are other benefits to it. There are other advantages to that decision. And when you and I choose to hear wisdom, and we choose to heed wisdom, there are not only initial benefits, but there are many benefits that we don't even see right now. There are secondary benefits. And so my challenge for you this week is to proverb a decision. Choose one decision that you're making this week. One decision that you need to make this week. Stop and think through. You might have other reasons why you might decide whatever you're going to decide. But attach a proverb to that decision. Say, I'm going to make this decision, but I'm going to make this decision partially based upon this proverb. Proverb so-and-so and such-and-such. This proverb is contributing to my decision to make this decision here. So attach a proverb to a decision this week. After the service, if you need someone to talk to or if you need someone to pray with you, I'll be up front and I'll be happy to talk with you and pray with you after the service. Anything we've talked about this morning or other stuff that's going on in your life. At this point in the service, we want to move to our time of the Lord's Supper. If you didn't receive one of these disposable communion cups on your way in, just raise your hand. We have some individuals in the back and they will bring those over to you. And a couple things about this morning. This is something we call the Lord's table. And the reason that we use that terminology is we want to communicate to people that you don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to be a regular attender of this church or anything to participate in this. The only requirement that is really wise for you and wise for us is that you are a person who has an intimate relationship with God because of your faith in Jesus. You are a believer. And part of the reason why that's so important and why it's important for me to convey that to you is that what we're doing is remembering something. We're remembering fondly. We're remembering with a humble adoration towards God for the things that He has done for us. that Jesus did for us on the cross. And if you haven't articulated or embraced that for yourself, this isn't going to make any sense. But for those of you who have entered into a personal relationship with God the Father because of what Jesus Christ did, you are welcome to attend, whether you're a part of this church, a regular member, or just here visiting this morning. And the first part of the Lord's table is where we take the bread. So if you reveal the top part of the bread, the top plastic piece, and reveal the bread, we read from the book of 1 Corinthians, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took some bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And if you pull off the foil piece, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then he concluded with, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Would you stand with me for the benediction? I'm going to use an old school one here. "Now all glory to God who is able, according to his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." See you next week. Don't forget about the Gideons.